Jesus loves me, this I know. We sang this song last Wednesday evening in our song and prayer service, and it brought to memory to me of a sermon that I wrote many years ago about this little song. And I want to share this lesson with you tonight. I think it will tell us a lot about God's love for us. You know, this song is usually overlooked by the grown-ups. We think of this as a little child's song, and many people consider it to be a song like a lullaby. It is a favorite song in our children's classes. In fact, you may think back upon your youthful years and find that it could very well have been the very first song that you ever learned to sing, because it probably was the first church song that you ever learned to sing as a child. Because it has been deemed a children's song, people overlook this song and the wonderful meaning that it has for mankind. I think there are many lessons that we can learn from this little children's song. So that's what I would like for us to take a look at very, very quickly this evening. The first stanza of the first verse, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We know all about God's love. We know that God is love. We know that His love for us is far greater than our love could ever be for Him. The Scriptures tell us about God's words, which are indeed love for us to follow in our lives. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, or competent, as it says here, equipped for every good work. You know, Paul is just trying to tell us just how important God is to you and me and our lives. He is also trying to tell us just how much God loves us so that we can understand what true love really is. The Scriptures tell us of God's love. In fact, God is the original source of love for you and me. We can go to 1 John chapter 4 and we can read verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. There would be no love in our lives as human beings if there was not love from God for us. We can continue reading, and it says, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Again, He was the originator of love. And there could be no love without God. Love is indeed an attribute of God. And not only is it an attribute of God, but it is the center of His character. You know, when even with the very first words that God spoke, it was based on love. Love for us, which were not yet even created. God knew His plan before the foundation of the earth. And it was based upon love that He had for us even before He created us. So, God truly loves His children. God has loved us from our creation. And as a result of that love for us, God has expected our love for Him. But, you know, we ask the question, what is the attributes of God's love? God does have attributes for His love. God is merciful because of His love for us. We can go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and read verse 31. It says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. In other words, his love is an everlasting love. It is a long-lasting love. And because of the love that he has for you, mercy is a part of that love. And because of his love for you, he will stand by you. He will always be by you. He will always direct your paths. He will always stand up for you and secure you and protect you. And he will never forget you. Not only is God's love merciful, God's love is forgiving. We read in Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." If we are willing to call upon our Heavenly Father, his love will come shining down upon us in such a wonderful way. And along with that light comes the forgiveness, and he has already proven time and time again his desire to be merciful, his desire to be forgiving for mankind. You know, God's love was given to us first, before it was given to anything else. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, "In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, we wonder just how much God loves us. Well, there's your answer. He sent his Son to us. When sin entered into the world, in Genesis chapter 3, the love of God never changed. The love of man for God did change. God made it through his love possible for man to overcome that which Satan had brought upon us. And of course, that being sin. And then, of course, we have the ultimate Bible verse that tells us of the love of God. I always call this the golden verse of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That is how the ultimate love of God works. He was willing to give the life of his Son for you and for me. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Then we have the second stanza of verse 1. "Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." I don't have to tell you this, but we need to realize that every one of us in this room has a spiritual weakness. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are in God. Every one of us have weak moments spiritually in our lives. And one of the things that we cannot do, and one of the reasons we have a weakness in our love, is because we are not capable of correcting our lost condition. We have all, at one time or another, been in a lost condition. Some here may still be in a lost condition. And one of the things that can end that, of course, will be the love of God. It can overcome the weakness of man. You know, Paul said in Romans 3, verse 23, "For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, we fall short of hitting the mark of righteousness. We know that we must put righteousness into our lives. God expects righteousness from us in our lives. And every one of us at one time or the other have missed that. And in all probability, we will miss it again. Because we have that weakness. And that weakness never really goes away. But you know, Paul told us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 that while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for who? He died for you and for me. Because of sin that is in our lives, the love of God has shone down upon us through the life of His Son. Because you see, Christ is strong, and Christ is able to overcome sin and is now our strength. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 22, talking about Jesus, he said, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Little ones, to Him belong, it says. They are weak, but He is strong. Now we are His children. We are His little ones. We belong to Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Second verse. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let His little child come in. You know, the death of Jesus Christ literally opened the gates of heaven. And it took the death of Jesus Christ to open the gates of heaven for mankind. For you see, when sin entered into the world, it separated man from God. God can have no part of sin. And now man has become part of sin. So something had to be done to bridge that gap, to bring man and God back together again, so that heaven's gates could open for man. Because you see, it was always God's plan that man be with God. And now sin has entered and has made this difficult for man to be with God. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51 tells us that it was Jesus Christ that opened the gates of heaven. It was Jesus Christ who brought reconciliation between God and man. It says, And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. This happened at the death of Jesus Christ. When He took His last breath, that wall in the temple that separated man from the most holy place, that being the place of God, was rent in two. It was destroyed. The death of Christ now has made it possible for man and God to meet, to unite, and to be together. It was the symbol of God's reconciliation for man. Now, mankind has an access to God, and it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon that cross of Calvary. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The gates have been opened wide for you and me. God can receive us into His world now because of the blood of Jesus. Sin can be removed from our lives. And it's all because of the love of God. Last verse. There are only three verses to this song when I wrote this sermon. Your book has four verses in it. I want to talk about that fourth verse. Jesus, take this heart of mine. Make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. You know what this verse is saying here? Lord, here is my heart. I give you my heart. I want you to have the very best of me. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to be with you. Look at all that you have done for me. You bled and died for me. The least that I can do is live for you. When you give God your heart, you are giving God your mind. You are giving God your motives. You are giving God your feelings. You are giving God your influences of life. You are giving Him basically your all because He has given you His all. He gave you the very best. And we need to give God our very best. Our heart belongs to God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, that my heart, my soul, my all belongs to God. For through your law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, my friends, Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. You know, the same Bible that speaks of the love of God also speaks of God's salvation, which comes through obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. Tonight, my friends, I want you to understand in the greatest way just how much God loves you. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, please understand God loves you. Please understand that God sent His Son to this earth for you so that He could go to that cross for you, so that He could shed His blood for you, so that you can live with Him for all eternity. So my friend, let the love of God and the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the love of the Holy Spirit set you free from sin. And you can do this through obedience to the gospel of Christ. It will save your soul, and it will give you security in a place called heaven. Aaron Christian, Jesus loves you. Even though you have turned your back on Him, even though you may have gone back into the ways of the world, Jesus loves you. And He wants you to come back to Him. We need to understand that if we are going to tell Jesus we love Him, we must remain in love with Him. Unfortunately, Satan is going to do everything he can to take that away from you. And the most unfortunate thing is, he will be successful at it. We need to understand, though, that because of the love of God, even though we have failed, even though we have fallen, we can come back to our loving God. So if you have failed in your effort to love God as He has loved you, repent of that and give your life back to Him. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.